We all need to take a deep breath right now. Just praise God for his faithfulness. I'm excited that you guys are joining us today for what God is doing in his church today. And we start a new series this morning, and the series comes from a question that I posed to the Lord, and it's a question that I'm going to pose to you today. I was talking to God a few weeks ago, and I said, Lord, what am I growing in spiritually? We often find ourselves growing as a human in our workplace, with our family, different areas in our life, but the very foundation of all growth is spiritual growth. The real you, your spirit man, making a decision to say, God, I want to grow in you. And today's message comes from that conversation that I had with the Lord. And essentially, I am inviting you to grow with me today. You say, what does this look like for me? You're like, all right, Pastor Ann, I'll grow with you. Well, I'm encouraging you as you go to the Lord and have that quiet time where you ask this question to God, that you allow the Holy Spirit to bring an awakening, an awareness in your life of an area that possibly you're already growing in, or maybe an area that you need to grow in. I was walking with my oldest son, Cademan. He'll be 21 this year. He's a sophomore at UNC. And he said, Mom, I'm growing. And he mentioned a fruit of the Spirit that he was wanting to grow in. And he said, you know, I'm working on it, but I'm growing in it. And I said, Cademan, I'm so proud of you. One, that you're aware, but you've made a decision to grow. Did you know that when we become aware of the spiritual things in our life that we need to grow in, God will give us an opportunity to grow in that area? As we humble ourselves before the Lord and our eyes are open to see. And then I also want to say this, as we're walking through this message and the Holy Spirit begins to minister, maybe he ministers one fruit of the Spirit that you need to grow in. Maybe it's gentleness. Did you know that if you began to grow in gentleness, it can change everything in your life? So don't allow Satan to devalue what's huge to God. That one specific area of growth transform your life forever. There's nothing too little or too big for God in how we grow in him. God just loves us. I also thought about this today. I said, Lord, what does this look like? He said, I really also just want you to remind them that I'm faithful. That God is always faithful. And that as we press into this time of growth, this time of discipleship together, we are spreading his faithfulness. Amen. The same way I'm inviting you to grow with me, I want you to invite someone to grow with you. I absolutely love conversations of discipleship where we sit down together and we can say, hey, how are you growing spiritually? And you're sitting with someone that you could have an honest time of reflection before the Lord to say, well, you know, I think I'm growing this way. Oh, that's good. Well, I'm growing this way. Let's get into the Word together. Let's talk about what God is doing in our lives and how faithful he is. How faithful he is. Are you wondering what I've been growing in? Anyone? Okay. All right. I'm inviting. Thank you, my husband. He wants to know. Today's message, I'm inviting you to grow with me in persevering prayer. We are going to grow together in persevering prayer. When I talked to the Lord about this, I said, God, what have I been growing in spiritually? He said, you've been growing in persevering prayer. And I begin to think, okay, if you're growing in persevering prayer, that means you've had quite a few things to persevere for in prayer. Praise God. Praise God. So to begin off today's sermon, we're going to stand together and we're going to read the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to invite you all to stand with me. We're going to pray the Lord's Prayer together today. We'll have it on the screen as well. And I feel like how the Holy Spirit just paints things out. If the disciples go to the Lord and say, Lord, teach me to pray, and this is what the Lord Jesus gives them, how valuable it is to consecrate ourselves before the Lord and pray what he's given us, to pray his word with a sincere heart. So we're going to pray this together. If you could go ahead and get the scripture on the screen, please. In this manner, I'm going to have you all pray with me. So we're going to all say this together. Can we say this together? All right. In this manner, therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may have a seat. Henry and Richard Blackaby, out of the book Experiencing God Day by Day. Thank you, Mary, for that recommendation. I absolutely loved this passage in a devotion that I have that's based upon this book. It says, we are so activity-oriented that we assume we were saved for a task we are to perform rather than a relationship to enjoy. God uses our activities and circumstances to bring us to himself. If we are not careful, we can inadvertently bypass the relationship in order to get on with the activity. In growing and persevering prayer, I've recognized how often in my life can I become so consumed or so busy with the activity or what I'm in even for the Lord that I've forgotten that I'm placed right there to have a relationship with God, to be able to talk to him about my life on the best day and the hardest day, through every challenge, through every circumstance. When we talk about prayer and having this time of perseverance or an endurance in prayer, it's recognizing that what we're going through today is an opportunity to draw closer to a Heavenly Father who cares so much about our life that he has called us to pray to him about everything. And then he's given us this opportunity to keep on praying, to keep on asking, to never quit talking to him. And you guys, if you have been feeling like prayer is a chore, or if you've been battling with the shame of going before God, if you've been struggling with the idea of dreading going to your Heavenly Father, then you've missed a relationship of knowing that God is so good, and that his mercy endures forever, and that he's got grace for today, and that he's drawing you to himself by the blood of Jesus because he loves you. There's no shame or guilt or condemnation. Like, why in the world would we not invite the creator of heaven and earth to come and have a divine encounter in our lives through every aspect? And then, whenever we don't see it, we blame the very God we prayed to. Whenever he's the one that says, I'm simply trying to have a relationship with you, hold on to me. Keep coming to me. Okay, you're angry? Take it to me. You're full of sorrow? I'd like to hear about it. You're struggling? You're hopeless? Let's talk about that right now. You're wounded? I have a healer. The greatest joy we should have in life is by going to our Heavenly Father in the mighty name of Jesus, knowing that not only does He hear my cry, but He has an answer, He has a new mercy, He has a hope, an encouragement. He's sending ministering angels to minister to me. He's leading me by the Holy Spirit to scripture that's going to strengthen me. It's going to reveal the truth of what I need to know. He's going to send a brother or sister in Christ to come and just speak a word in season. That He has all that I need. I'm not going to quit praying. I'm not going to quit going to God. I'm not going to quit getting on my knees and crying to a Heavenly Father who loves me, who's there. As I was talking to the Lord about persevering prayer, I put in some specifics for myself. And you guys, we're going to be parked in 1 Samuel chapter 1. We're going to talk about Hannah today, which is very fitting for this. But in a few of my own personal notes, I put Anna refused no for an answer. You say, wait, what? You're going to God and refusing no for an answer? There are many people in the Bible who refuse no for an answer from God. What a good father. Perseverance in prayer requires faith, and faith comes only from believing God. And the Word of God is the very foundation on which we pray. I'm so thankful that we started praying the Word of God this morning. You guys, what comes out of this, if you've been struggling in your prayer life or persevering prayer, it's time to dive into the Scripture and allow God's Word to be the lamp for your feet, the light for your path. Right? Begin to pray out Scripture over your life and your home and your family. Persevering prayer is based upon a holy call that brings God glory, doesn't complain or call attention to itself. Whew. You ever just complained rather than prayed? Well, we all have, let's just say it. You ever just called someone up and just spilled the beans? Vented? Aren't we filled with this world has got so many vents going in the wrong direction. It's time to point that up to the Lord, right? Receive a fresh breath from heaven. Persevering prayer is fueled by the Holy Spirit. I put in my notes, shoo, we need help from the Holy Spirit to pray without ceasing. Persevering prayer pleases God. Anyone ever have that conversation with the Lord? Lord, I'd like to please you. Can you show me how to please you? That's a great conversation to have. When you have a bad attitude, get on your knees and pray. When you suffer a disappointment, raise your hands and pray. When you see the answer but realize it'll take a God-sized help, rejoice in the Lord and pray. When you are weeping, weep before the Lord in prayer. When life is at its best day, keep praying and give God thanks. It's a continuation of no matter the season and no matter what I'm facing, Lord, I choose to pray. We find Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I had the best time just going over this chapter. I've been over it many times in my life. But aren't you so thankful that every time you read the Word of God, it just comes alive and the Lord gives you more and more and more because He's just so good. We see in 1 Samuel chapter 1, really a heartbreaking moment. We have a man named Elkanah, and he has two wives. Now, I put this in my notes. Polygamy was a fact of life in the ancient world, but often it caused strife and conflict. Never ended up good. It was essentially a sin of ignorance. So let's just park that to the side before we get stuck there, okay? Elkanah lived in Ramah. That city, the name of that, and this is valuable to know. I enjoy knowing these things. It means height or exalted. His two wives were Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children. Hannah did not. It was a very complex, competitive relationship. And each year, Hannah and Peninnah and her children, they would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord. And I love in this set of scripture, specifically describes the Lord as the Lord of heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests there were Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Then I want you to know what the word, the place Shiloh, what that city means. The Hebrew root means to be at rest or a place of peace. Persevering prayer is a place of peace when we rest in the Prince of Peace. But in the natural, whenever Hannah would go to Shiloh, she had Peninnah, who is tormenting and taunting her for the fact that she was barren. And it says in the scripture that the Lord closed her womb, that she was unable to have children. And this is what's interesting about this entire message. Because I begin to think about Hannah's life, and here she is. She's got a husband who loves her. It says he gave her a double portion. But even in his great love for her, his good intentions were not enough. And it did not meet the need that she was desiring in that moment. Have you ever had someone that loved you and had good intentions, but you knew you still needed God? And sometimes they said things that just didn't help. And then right in the middle of them worshiping God, we have Peninnah taunting and tormenting her. And they would come to Shiloh year after year to worship God. And as you walk through this set of scripture, you begin to see this barren woman. And I thought, Lord, I'm assuming that she came to you every year and cried out to you. And yet God, right in the middle of her life, knowing that you shut her womb, she still looked to you as the Lord of heavenly armies. I want you to stick with me for a minute, because this has blessed me in my own life. Hannah's facing torment, taunting, good intentions. She's worshiping God. She's doing her best, continually going to the Lord. And that she has a moment where she lays before her heavenly Father. And it says, with such sorrow and anguish that she's praying and crying to God, her lips are moving, but no words are coming out. And then we see Eli the prophet come over. He thinks she's drunk. Then in the middle of her crying out to God, the priest there thinks that she's drunk. Talk about persevering prayer. You have this person tormenting you. You have a well-meaning spouse who just is clueless on where you're at in life. Then you have the very priest that's supposed to be there thinking that you're drunk at the altar. Yet she knew who the Lord of the heavenly armies was. And that even though he had not opened her womb yet, she could go to a God that would hear her cry. And she could ask and ask again. And then in the middle of that asking, God hears her cry. He sees her heart. And we see Eli say, well, let's read it. I'm over here telling you guys how I've just pictured all of this. Let's go to verse 12. Oh, no. Let's go to verse 10. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, "O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he's been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut." As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. "Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. "Throw away your wine." "Oh, no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged. And I was pouring my heart out to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." "In that case," Eli said, "go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. And she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. If we continue reading, it says she then began to worship the Lord. She's never stopped worshiping God. In her discouragement, in her anguish, in the torment, in the sorrow, she never stopped worshiping God. You say, "Pastor Anna, does persevering prayer often look like a discouragement?" It does. But if you take that discouragement to a heavenly Father who can actually do something about it, then praise God. Does persevering prayer look like worship unto the Lord? Yes, it does. There have been many of moments that I've cried out at this altar, struggling with something so challenging, knowing that it's only God who can move on my behalf. You guys, I've got... Kate will be 21 this year, so I guess you are possibly an adult. Cohen just turned 18. Colton's getting ready to turn 16. Carly will be 14 in a few months. It's the most I've ever prayed in my entire life. And God hears my cry. And even when I don't see it, he's working and moving. There are three things that I wrote down about persevering prayer out of this that just ministered to me. There are more, but I'll let you do that on your own. I encourage you to read this entire chapter and into chapter 2, please. But there's a perseverance that is fueled by the Holy Spirit. There's a persistence. That was the word. They're so close. And I even debated, God, is it too close? And he said, no. Perseverance requires an endurance, which at oftentimes is painful. Let's just be real. Hannah's time of prayer before the Lord was, she was in anguish, bitterly crying out before God. But there's a persistence. And what is a persistence? It's a consistency where you never quit. I'm not going to stop asking and going to God. What does this look like? The first scripture, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians 6, 18. In Ephesians 6, 18, it says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." This persistence is a continual action. You see, it says, pray in the Spirit. It's a persistence fueled and filled by Holy Spirit power that he's guiding you into all truth, leading you on how to pray. Maybe it's the prayer of intercession. This passage talks about all manners of prayers. Persevering prayer isn't just one type of prayer. It's not just a bitter anguish before God. No. Persevering prayer may be that you're in intercession for a loved one. What is intercession? It's whenever you take the place of another to pray for them. You are stepping in to intercede on their behalf because they are unable to. There's a persistence and a persevering that if you've become weary in this time of prayer, I want to encourage you to keep on asking. Keep on interceding. Keep on believing God. Maybe the prayer is supplication. We often read supplication in the Word of God. What is supplication? It's an earnest entreaty, meaning you really care and you want to see God move. Where you've got a burden on your heart to see God move. So you're like, God, I'm going to keep, Holy Spirit, help me to keep on praying. Maybe it's the prayer of consecration. Oh, I've been there. God, your will be done. Jesus prayed that in the Garden of Gethsemane, the prayer of consecration. When you are at the end of yourself and you say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. But it's looking to a heavenly Father where you say, I am not going to give up and I'm not going to stop. I'm not giving up on that family member. I'm not giving up on my spouse. Holy Spirit, help me to pray for them. I'm not giving up on my kid, that prodigal son or daughter. Holy Spirit, send other people to minister to me, to help me, to lift my arms up in prayer and encourage me today. There's a persistence where he said, keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on seeking. And I pray by the Spirit of God that if you have grown weary in your well-doing, that hope begins to arise in your spirit today. And the spirit of faith comes stronger than ever before. That you go home and you say, Lord, I'm going to you. Holy Spirit, help me to pray. I love in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26, let's turn there. Many of you love Romans chapter 8. I'm going to tell you something about the Holy Spirit. There have been times that I've been praying for my children, and I realize that I'm praying from a posture of fear and not faith. Y'all ever been there? And the Holy Spirit will convict me and quicken me as I'm praying in the Spirit to say, nope. You have authority in Jesus' name. Take that authority right now. Right? That's why we are to pray and say, Holy Spirit, help me in my time of prayer. Encourage me. Strengthen me. I receive boldness to pray. I receive power to pray. Lead me to Scripture on what to pray. And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. There are so many times that I do not know what to pray for, and I begin to pray in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is making intercession on my behalf, leading me and guiding me, opening doors that only God can open, doing things that only God can do. It's time that we are persistent in prayer, and that persistence is fueled by Holy Spirit power. And then I begin to think of Hannah going year by year and this taunting and this discouragement, and yet she's worshiping the God, the Lord of heaven, of the heavenly armies, the Lord of hosts. And I thought, okay, God, persevering prayer, this is something he's been trying to teach me since, I'd say, January, this little aspect of it, not even little. I don't even know why I said that. This has been huge in my life. It's persevering prayer is patience that has faith in God. Persevering prayer is patient prayer. Whoa. Did many of you, that just made you sick inside because it's so hard? Turn to James chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. In our time of fasting in January, the Lord had taken me to this set of scripture. And he said, I really want you to meditate on this. You know when God has you meditate on something, you're getting ready to be able to apply that in your life in some way. He's gonna give you an opportunity to grow in it. James chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, it says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Or you will allow patience to have its perfect work. Don't allow Satan to hinder the growth that's taking place in the waiting, to discourage you, to tell you that it's never going to happen, that it's not going to work out, that God doesn't hear you. Man, he comes up with all the lies. All the lies. God's promises are yes and amen to those who believe. God's word shall not return back void, but will accomplish and prosper that for which it was sent to do. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and any tongue that shall arise, he shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. For by his stripes you were healed. For he is your provider. He is your healer. He is your rescuer. Because you can pray for wisdom and receive heavenly wisdom from God. He's given you all that you need. Have we ever thought that in this time of patience that we're having a full dependence on God and we're growing? Why? So someone can pick that fruit off of our tree, our Holy Ghost fruit tree, and we can help them to grow. When did this life become all about you and what you're going through? Right in the middle of Hannah, the Lord closing her womb, she cries out to him. He hears her cry. She was walking through what I would call a serious season of waiting with a lot of discouragement, getting real honest before God, not allowing Satan to steal the promise, even though in the natural, it didn't look like it was going to happen. And yet God heard her cry. What if it was that one more day? What if it was that one more cry? What if it was that pressing in by the power of the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, I'm waiting. This morning during worship, we just sold our house and we don't have a house yet to buy. Thank you. Praise God. The Lord sold our house in, 4 days? I'm giving him all the credit. I don't get any of it. I wouldn't even try, because Lord knows it was a miracle I kept that house clean for 4 days. We naturally right now have not found a house. And I had one morning this week, and this is why I'm so thankful. I thought, well, Lord, you're really letting patience have its perfect work in my life right now. And I thought, God, I just give that to you. I am waiting. But this morning during worship, the Lord reminded me, aren't my ways higher than yours? Yeah, they sure are. They sure are. God is so faithful. I just dare to believe he's doing a miracle in the waiting. And then the final one here is protection. Persevering prayer brings a protection over our life. You say, where's this coming from? Why are you saying this? I love that in the middle of the battle, in the middle of her time of prayer and discouragement, of crying out to God, she called God the Lord of heavenly armies, which is a battle term. She knew that he was fighting on her behalf. I'm here to remind you today that the battle is won and that Jesus paid the price on the cross and that victory is yours. This is why we go to God. This is why we believe and put our trust in him and put our faith in God. And I want to read these two scriptures. Turn to Psalm chapter 30. It would be hard to have a message like this without a psalm. Because I feel like every time I read a psalm from this beautiful book of prayers and praise, it's such an honest conversation with the Lord of crying out to God. In Psalm 30, verses 1, it says, I will exalt you, O Lord, for you rescued me. You refused to let my enemies triumph over me. Oh, Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but what comes in the morning? Joy comes in the morning. Then I couldn't leave out 11 and 12. For you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy that I might sing praises to you and not be silent. Oh Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Even before Hannah, who was barren, had received the promise. Eli told her, God heard your cry. Even before she went back with her husband, it said that she began to eat. She was no longer sad. Why? Because she knew that the Lord of heavenly armies was protecting her, that he heard her. And even before she went and met with her husband, God had already begun to move. There's a protection that wraps around you as you begin to persevere in prayer. And that protection should bring forth a praise and a thanksgiving unto God. That rather than living in sorrow and sadness and fear, you start to rejoice in the Lord. Some of you, you've been praying for so long, but you're still so sad and sappy. You've allowed Satan to steal that joyful fruit. I pray for Holy Spirit joy to arise on the inside of you. You begin to dance and rejoice and sing and shout. And then what does her song of praise and prayer look like? We've got two verses I'm going to read. 1 Samuel 2, 1 and 2. Hannah's prayer of praise. The very woman who stood in that temple in Shiloh years before was now giving God her son, giving back to him what he's given to her. She says, my heart rejoices in the Lord, and the Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me. No one is holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God. And then the first sentence of verse 3 says, stop acting so proud and haughty. I was like, I'm going to put that in there. It's time that we persist as we persevere in what God is speaking. It's time that we allow patience to have its perfect work. And in that time of patience, God's protecting us and we can have joy and rejoice. I'm so thankful that I'm growing in persevering prayer today. And that as I'm growing in this, I am seeing God move and my trust and dependence upon him. I'm like, Lord, you really do love me. And you hear me. And you care about every detail in my life. And I'm so thankful today. I'd like for you to just close your eyes and bow your head. Let's talk to the Lord for a second. Have you allowed your daily activities to deter you from having a full dependence and a relationship on God rather than draw you closer to him and allow him to move in your life? Have you become hopeless or weary in your well-doing? In Romans chapter 12, verse 12, it says, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we rejoice that you are the Lord of heavenly armies, that you have gone to battle, and that the battle is won in Jesus' name. Lord, we just worship you and we praise you. We honor you right now. Maybe you just need to open your mouth and just tell the Lord that you love him and begin to thank him. Lord, I thank you right in the middle of needing a victory. Lord, we're so thankful that you are working and moving. Help us to be still before you. Help us to see that your ways are higher. Holy Spirit, help me to press into the word of God. And I pray for boldness and encouragement. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for that spirit of faith rising up in Jesus' name. That we're never going to stop praying, knowing that God hears our cry. We're so thankful, God. We're so thankful today. Thank you, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we also ask to reveal, Lord, where do we need to grow spiritually right now? We've got a lot of kids and teenagers. I want you to ask yourself that question right now, too. Where do I need to grow spiritually? The Holy Spirit will show you. Husbands, fathers, dads, wives, moms, those that are believing God, those that are single believing God. I don't even know if I like the word single. Maybe you say that. You're just in a wonderful season of you and Jesus growing in the Lord. Holy Spirit, show me. Where do I need to pray and help me? I consecrate my life before you. God, I want to please you. Lord, we love you and we praise you. At the end of service, we're going to have our prayer team up here. The greatest gift that's ever been given, paid in full, is the gift of salvation. We all need a Savior, and His name is Jesus. If you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, the Bible tells us that it's a prayer of faith. It's a consecration unto the Lord, asking God to forgive us from our sin, acknowledging we are a sinner and we need a Savior. And I'm going to tell you something right now. It's the greatest miracle that will ever happen in your life. Do not leave this house without making Jesus Lord over your life. If you don't know Him, you want to know Him, and you know that you, at the end of today, we have all of these prayer team. Prayer team, y'all can come on up so they can see who you are. They want to believe God with you. If there's something that you're believing the Lord for, come up and pray. Believe God with people. Just like Marley said, look at all these friends. We're believing God together. If you've been coming to the church for a little bit, we've got our meet and greet back here. If you want to know us and press in or be a part of things in the church and you haven't yet, go back to my left, that room in the back. We'd love to get to know you. And all your mamas, get your prints as you walk out the door. And then if you didn't know this, youth, y'all are having service at 11 a.m., the next service up in the youth space today. Teenagers, that's going to be cool. God's doing great and mighty things here at Trailhead Church. Aren't you so thankful to be a part of it? Amen. All right, you guys have a blessed Sunday. We'll see you soon.